to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the treaty with Syria as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 10. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Now the prophet of God comes to him again. He's been victorious once more. The troops have gone out. They've dismantled this fortified city of Ramah. They've built a couple of cities. And the king of Israel has his hands full with Ben-Hadad up in the north. But the prophet comes out again. And this time, the prophet rebukes him for relying upon his own strategies rather than relying upon the Lord. And Asa, this time, rather than receiving the word of the prophet, verse 10, he was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison. He was in a rage with him because of this. And he began to oppress some of the people at the same time. Now, you wonder, having begun so well, how could these changes transpire? This is, however, the heart of the message, and I want to go back now to verse 9, which we deliberately jumped. I want to go back because the heart of the message of the prophet gives us an insight into God, into prayer, and into how God gives that revolutionized my own prayer life when I discovered it. In verse 9, this seer, Hanani, said, "For the eyes of Jehovah run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him." And then the prophet said, "Because you've done this, from now on, man, you're going to have trouble. You have done a foolish thing. And as the result, for the rest of your life, you're going to be troubled. Having trusted in the flesh, trusting in the arm of the flesh, the Lord will just let you paddle your own boat from here on, and it's going to be tough." But the principle of how God gives. With man, there probably are three basic kind of givers with varieties in each category. If we were the kind of church that went out to solicit funds, and thank God we're not, but if we were, and in building our new gymnasium to meet the needs of the young people within the congregation to have a facility where the people can gather and can have recreation and a multi-purpose kind of a facility that is going to serve many purposes for the church. And if we were going to go to the community to solicit funds, print up these fancy brochures and then go out into the community to neighboring stores and all and point out some of the problems that we're having with juveniles in this area. Kids really don't have much recreation. We're going to have this glorious facility. The kids can come in the afternoon and they'll have supervised recreation and, you know, to keep them off the streets. And you'd go and you'd have this whole program, the brochure, the need, and so forth, and what it's going to do. And you go to the business community, you would find that there would be, first of all, those men that you would approach, and you would tell them all about the proposed plans, and they would listen to you, perhaps a little reluctantly at first. They don't really want to be bothered, but as you sell the program, you've really got a excellent program, and you got good salesmanship. And as they listen, they become interested. And finally, they say, well, that's great. I think that is a splendid idea. I would like to have a part of it. And of course, you tell them that if they want to give a check, you'll have a reporter there from the newspaper, and he'll take a picture, and they can get their name and their store's name. We'll take it in front of your store here where they get the sign, you know, and it'll be news, and people will know that you're interested in community projects. And of course, your competitor down the street has given $1,000. And so, you know, you give the old business. And so the guy writes out his check, you know, and he's been sold. The second basic category is the person that, as soon as he is aware of the need, and you've made him aware, all you have to do is just say, hey, we've got a need. We need a gymnasium. Kids are running on the streets. They need supervised play and so forth. And so we plan this and all. And he says, oh, that's great. And he writes out the check. You don't have to really sell him. You just have to inform him of the need that is there, and he's ready to contribute. But there is a third type of giver. The man who maybe grew up on the streets, who got into a lot of trouble when he was a kid. There wasn't any recreation, there wasn't anything planned for him within the community, and thus he began to devise his own means of entertainment, and it wasn't always good. Spent a few of his early years in juvenile hall. But now that he's grown and matured, he's become successful in business. He's become very wealthy. He has more than he needs for himself. And he sees these kids that are in the same condition that he was in when he was a kid. And he thinks, my, it would be wonderful if there was some kind of a planned recreational program for these young people. It would be so great if they had some place where they could go and they could be supervised in their recreation and they could have something that would really build character into them. And so he starts looking around to see what is being done or what can be done. And as he is looking around, he comes across your plans. He's excited. What you're planning to do is what he has wanted to do. This is something that he can really get behind. And so you get a check in the mail, totally unsolicited. Handsome, healthy check to help in your project. He's been looking for a place to invest his funds that would take care of this situation that he can see existing among the young people. Now, of these three types of givers, which do you think comes closest to God as God gives to us? To listen to a lot of our prayers, you'd say number one, give him a good sales pitch. And my early life of prayer was just that, sales pitches. Now, Lord, you can't lose on this one. Because if you'll do this for me, this is what I'm going to do for you. You just help me get this little 3-window 36 Ford black coupe with the twin spots and the twin antennas and all. And Lord, every Sunday, I'll go around and pick up my friends and take them to church. How can you lose? Of course, I also envisioned myself driving past Santa Ana High and with those Smitty mufflers and just sort of letting off on them and let them bark, you know, 5 days a week. But Sunday, Lord, it'll be your little chariot taking kids to church. How can you lose, God? Well, evidently he saw how he could. I never did get it. But it was, oh, I'll tell you, my prayer life, it was a real sales pitch. And I used to feel that I had to somehow convince God of the validity of the thing that I was desiring. And my prayers were just that. Sales pitches trying to urge, force, cajole God into seeing it my way. Pressure tactics. Like the little Catholic boy who was praying for the bike. Nothing was forthcoming. The bike didn't come, and he kept praying. And finally, he went in and got the statue of Mary. And he says, "Do you want to ever see your mother again?" My prayers were something like that. Try to force God to do it our way. There are others who think of God as giving like the second basic kind of giver. Prayer time is information time. I'm informing God of all of my needs. And surely, as soon as God knows my problems and my needs, He'll come through. And so I spend my prayer time as information time, informing God of my needs. But it is interesting that Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ever ask Him." He really doesn't need to be informed of my needs. In reality, this scripture points out that God gives more like the third person in our illustration. "For the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the entire earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him." What does that say? God is looking for a place to invest His resources. God is wanting to do a work. He is just looking for people who are in harmony with that which He wants to do in order that He might channel through them His resources. I think that we make a mistake many times in trying to direct the flow of the Spirit. We build the channels and we say, "Okay, Lord, now flow through this channel." And we are out there directing the channel so that we can direct the flow of God's Spirit. We get out and we develop our programs and our whole strategies and we say, "Now God, bless this program. Make this program successful." I think that it would be to our advantage and far wiser, rather than to try to redirect the flow of the Spirit, is to find out where the Spirit is flowing and get in the flow of the Spirit. And basically, God is looking for people who are in the flow. People are doing what He wants done. People are in harmony with His purposes and His will. And when God finds such, then He uses them to channel His resources through them. And your life becomes rich and blessed because God just continues to flow through you the resources, the infinite resources, because you are doing what God wants done. Your heart perfect towards Him. Doing the things that God desires to do and to get done upon the earth, then your life just becomes the channel and it just is a continual flow. And it's glorious. It's glorious. You don't have to get out and trust in the arm of flesh. You don't have to get out and beg people for finances. You don't have to get on TV and say, "Please send us your money." Because you're not trusting in the flesh or the arm of the flesh. You're trusting in the eternal God. And you're in the flow of what God wants done. And thus, he has been looking for someone who would be in this flow, heart perfect towards him. And God is looking for such people. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. So the key is just get your heart in harmony with God's heart. Your life in harmony with God's purpose and God's will. And your life will become just blessed, enriched, as God then begins to channel through you his resources. Tremendous message to Asa, but he wasn't ready to receive it. His fleshly stratagem worked. He was proud of what he had done, and he wasn't ready for the rebuke of God. And thus, he was in a rage because he had been told that he had done a very foolish thing. And from the result of it, you're going to have problems from here on out. As long as you're trusting in the flesh, you're going to have problems. As long as you're trying to work things out in the flesh, you're going to have problems. And angry, in a rage, he ordered Hanani imprisoned. And he began then to oppress some of the people. And behold, the acts of Asa, the first and the last, lo, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? And Asa, in his 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until the disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And he slept with his father and died in the 41st year of his reign. Now, the inference of the text is that had he sought the Lord, it is quite possible the Lord would have healed him. But he continued to rely upon the arm of the flesh rather than to rely upon the Lord. He had established a pattern of looking to the flesh, and fleshly means for help, rather than looking to God. It is always sad when a person who has begun in the Spirit, like the foolish Galatians, seek to be perfected in the flesh. They buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and of diverse kinds of spices that were prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. And so that brings us to the ascension of Jehoshaphat as the king in chapter 17. The son of Asa, Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead, and he strengthened himself against Israel, the northern kingdom. And he placed forces in all of the fenced cities of Judah. He set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa had taken, his father had taken. So he, coming to the throne, began to again fortify himself, especially against the northern kingdom. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father. Like Asa did in the beginning, he went back to those first ways. You know, it is interesting that so often the first ways are the best. So Jehoshaphat evidently was a keen and astute observer of his father, and he went back to the first ways of his father in walking with the Lord. And he sought not unto Baalim, the gods of the Canaanites. but he sought the Lord, the God of his father, and he walked in his commandments and not after the northern kingdom of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all of Judah brought to Jehoshaphat their presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we discover that if you seek the Lord, he will be found of you. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And now may the Spirit of God teach you all things and bring to your remembrance those things that he has commanded us. You remember to just love God and believe on Jesus Christ. And may the love of Christ be perfected in your life. May it increase and may it grow. And may God help you to maintain the proper perspective in the world, but not of the world. Your every touch as light as possible, because the world is going to pass away and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. God help us to be interested and occupied with the things that are eternal. In Jesus' name.
Every Christian woman has a calling upon her life. If you're in the workplace Monday through Friday, you have a ministry. If you're a wife or a mother, you too have a calling. Or if you simply are going to school, you have a ministry. The question is, have you laid hold of what God has called you to do? Or let me ask you this, are you sure you know what your calling is? Well, ladies, I have a special surprise for you. The Word for Today is making available the When Leaders Lead Women's Conference on DVD with a bonus MP3 that has over 40 messages to assist women to discover God's call and then to equip, teach, and encourage them to minister the gospel to others. Topics include how to witness to loved ones, balancing ministry and motherhood, coping with conflict, counseling with compassion, discipling others, and knowing the Lord's will. There are even messages geared to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and teaching a Bible study. To find out more, call The Word for Today at 714-825-WORD or contact them online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.